This is Deanna Spingola. It is Sunday, September 8th, 2013, and this is one of my special interviews. We have no commercials, no censorship, no calls, and no music. It is just education and information. It is bare bones broadcasting. My guest today is Clint Richardson. He is the producer of Lethal Injection, the story of vaccination, which came out in September of 2011. He also produced the movie Kaffir School, School Districts, and The Lottery, and The Corporation Nation. His websites are realityblogger.wordpress.com and thecorporationnation.com. Now, we had a program last week, just a week ago today, where Clint introduced the idea of the core curriculum and how it applied to schools. But there are some other things that it also applies to, such as the military. Clint, welcome.
Why, thank you very much. And yes, we are talking about, remember, we're talking about an international corporation with tendrils all throughout the entire or the entirety of the world, basically, all of the first world countries, United Kingdom, United States. And so, again, this is headquartered in India, as we discussed last week. And this week, I've basically spent the entire week studying this and figuring out how deep this goes. And apparently, it's much deeper than I could have possibly imagined. And it's horrific. So, again, thank you for having me back.
Oh, you're welcome. Absolutely. So how does this tie in with the military? How could CORE, this corporation in India, what does it have to do with the military?
Well, we have to start, I think, at the basics. We have to discover or rediscover how our government actually works. We have a system in America where private associations are literally creating the laws, the legislation that gets basically rubber stamped by the Congress. I think we're all familiar with this model by this point. You have ALEC, the American Legislative Exchange Council, and you have all of these different basically private associations, non-governmental, they're non-profits, okay? And they're basically, like you said, they're creating the legislation, wining and dining the legislators, and then, you know, they go back and they pass the legislation. And they call these, just like Common Core, they call them model legislation. So ALEC model legislation. It's something like, it's well over 100 bills each year get passed that are written by this, ALEC, by American Legislative Exchange Council, which is basically a conglomeration of corporations. But see, it goes a lot further than that. Let's just talk about one of these groups, which is the National Governors Association. You have a case where the governors and all these different politicians all realize that while they're in office, while they're conducting their business in their prospective states, they have very little power to do certain things, to create legislation, and to communicate with other governors. This can be comptrollers, this can be councilmen, this can be financial officers, comptrollers. Every single one of these different jobs, whether they're appointed or elected, all have their own private association. Ironically, they actually meet in because when you go to Washington, D.C., you are leaving the country. Okay, your country is your state. When you're going to Washington, D.C., you go into a state of, where in this district, you're going into a state of diplomatic immunity, basically. Even in the Constitution, it's very specific where it says that congressmen, when they travel and travel back from and participate in legislation, anything official in Washington, D.C., they are immune. Okay, it's called the Immunity Clause. They cannot get in trouble for anything they do or say while they're in Washington, D.C., on official business, with the exception of treason, which, of course, the court and the government has to actually acknowledge, which is,
they're never going to do that.
right. Treason, I think there's a couple other, things that are really, really severe. Murder, I think, is one of them. But just like any Masonic group, they're not going to tattle on each other either. So basically, the governors all pick up and they all fly on the taxpayer dollars. They fly to Washington, D.C., and they have their governors, their annual, you know, Governors Association meeting. And ironically, they all meet in the same building, which I find incredibly insulting because literally this is not illegal in Washington, D.C., for these guys to get together and literally conspire to create what's called uniform legislation, model uniform legislation. Okay, so in this way, they create the legislation with a lot of help from different groups, corporations, private associations. The legislature gets done, and then they all scatter back like roaches back to their little states. And at that point, they introduce that legislation as a model legislation coming from a private association, generally in good standing with the United Nations and all that. They then introduce that into the state legislature, and the state legislator basically says, okay, this is one of those model legislations. Let's just rubber stamp it. There, it's good. And now, instead of actually having a federal law, which is a central law that applies to all states, the federal government can deny that it has created that central law. It can say, no, 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 Common Core is absolutely voluntary, but we have nothing to do. We don't force states to actually, you know, implement Common Core. We give them the choice. Well, that's the choice. You know, the governors bring and the all these different associations bring back the legislation, and it's basically rubber stamped. In this way, you create what are called the uniform acts or the uniform laws. All the states have the same exact law, maybe given a few little changes that they'll make in the legislature to apply to that state. But essentially, this is how government bypasses the federal government with the federal government's full knowledge and acceptance, because they actually protect them and put them in what's called the Hall of States, which is a large building that houses many of the state governments, the offices. So if you when you think of a state, you got to think that a state is nothing more than a political boundary. It's actually defined, for instance, in the Massachusetts Act, which actually created it, besides the Constitution, they're actually labeled by the federal government as judicial jurisdictions. That is what a state is. And that's why you have, you used to have traveling circuit courts, and then we believe that when they broke up or sold part of the United States, which, you know, was supposed to be 100 miles, 100 square miles or 10 miles square, which is 100 miles, we actually believe that they took that extra 30-something, 35 square miles, and that's what all these court buildings are. They're little parts of the United States built into each state. And as long as the state individually gives permission, which of course they will, then you have basically a United States away from the United States, a little piece of jurisdiction. And that's why you no longer have traveling, circuit courts like you used to, where they would actually come to you. Now you have to travel to that court building wherever you are. We're guessing, please make sure that's understood, that is because these are little teeny parts of the United States, which is, again, a federal jurisdiction.
Oh, yes.
Right. So, okay, so... understand what's happening here, because let me just read you what these things are. Okay, National Governors Association, NGA, is an American 501c3 tax-exempt nonprofit organization best known for involvement with developing the Common Core education initiatives. All right, so again, your governors are spending your taxpayer money flying to Washington, D.C. to participate in a non-governmental 501c3 tax-exempt nonprofit organization where they proceed to, with help from outside influences, create legislation. They then fly that back to their states, give it to the legislature. Legislature looks at it, pretends to deliberate, and then rubber stamps the legislation. You see how that works?
Sure.
All right. That's not the only one. Remember this. In fact, if you go and see the Hall of States, you'll see, like I said, you'll see about 20 or 30 different states are actually housed there in Washington, D.C. And then you'll see, again, National Association of Governors, National Association of Comptrollers, National Association of Financial Officers, of this and that and the other. every aspect of government, where they all go to Washington, D.C., meet as a private non-governmental organization, and then bring that legislation back to be passed in the local venue. So it's not just governors, it's everything in between as well, down to the lowest common denominator. You even have police, you have chief police chiefs, their national association, you have the Sheriff's Association. And again, the Sheriff's Association symbol is the fasci. So what we have is basically treason, or if you will, conspiracy. Okay, conspiracy, simply a plan between two or more people to do something that is otherwise unlawful. But of course, the government, again, has to be able to, you know, it's up to government, or a court, I should say, to say whether it's a conspiracy or not.
Okay? Wow.
Conspiracy doesn't exist unless you prove it in court. Well, is someone going to sue? I mean, I'm willing to, if someone will do it with me. Someone willing to sue all 50 governors and blame them for conspiracy? I mean, I'll be right there, you know, doing the deliberation, but I'd need help to do it. But this is the problem. We don't do this type of thing. We don't point to all these 50 governors and say, look, you're leaving the country. You're leaving the state. You're traveling to a foreign corporation, a judicial district where you have immunity. You're getting together. You're conspiring to create legislation through a private corporation in India, the standards that it produces, and then you're taking it back to your states, and you're all passing it at once.
Wow.
Okay? I don't know what a conspiracy is. I don't know why none would dare not call that conspiracy. I don't understand. That's government. That's how all government is done today.
So what does this say about states' rights and all of these groups that are saying, oh, we've got to get back our states' rights? I mean, all of that left at the end of the so-called Civil War.
Civil War, yes. Remember, what Civil War really meant is civil, okay?
Right.
The word civil is a legal term. It created artificial rights. It created equality. It created all these different things after the fact, of course. But it created what is called civil rights. Civil war for civil rights. And all that really did, again, when we look at the 13th Amendment, what does the 13th Amendment actually say? It's very specific when it says that involuntary servitude and slavery are intolerable. But it says nothing whatsoever about voluntary slavery. And that's what we're talking about with CORE. We're talking about human trafficking, human capital. We're talking about placing an artificial person on a man, making the man the surety for that artificial person through contract by being a 14th Amendment citizen. And then at that point, you must obey the civil law, the civil rights that are assigned to you. Now, remember that things like states' rights, things like civil rights and equal rights, please understand, folks, those are political rights. They are not natural. Okay, all that means is that they are not inherent. What does inherent mean? That means they're not just automatic. That means that a right, if it's a positive right, a political right, it means it's something that is forced upon you. It is not something that you get to choose. It is forced upon you, as opposed to a natural right, a God-given right, which is just there. Okay, you fight for your natural rights with your guns. But you see, because they made guns into a political right, everybody's afraid to use them.
Exactly, right.
So the concept of states' rights, what do you think? What are you saying when you say states' rights? Well, if states are nothing more than political or judicial jurisdictions, what exactly do you think a state's right is? I mean, really, you know, keep in mind the difference here. You have the Declaration of Independence, right? And when we read the Declaration of Independence, for the most part, it's a wonderful document. And it was very much a prop. It didn't really mean anything. All it was is a declaration. You submit a declaration as the reason for doing something. That's really all it was. It has no political weight or power. Okay. From that came the Articles of Confederation. What were the Articles? The Articles of Confederation. Okay, meant that all the states now were together in a union. But the Articles did not. Okay, they actually adhered to the the Declaration. In other words, no, they weren't perfect. No, they weren't. In fact, in some cases, they were worse. But what they did was they brought all the states together in a union without necessarily a central corporation to run it, a federation. Then, once that was established, then all of a sudden you had representatives from each state, which were the government of the state. So at that point, you had states' rights, because each state was still in some way a sovereign, if you will. And that's a very confusing word that people misuse all the time, because it really, a sovereign means that you rule over someone else. So an individual really can't be sovereign, like the sovereign man on the land thing. You don't want to use the word sovereign, because it means you're actually a ruler of other people, and that's just wrong.
Okay.
The way you look at it. So the states had sovereignty, which means that they are basically immune from, I mean, that's the other thing. Sovereignty means you're immune from your own law. That's the other aspect that's not such a good thing.
Oh.
It means that you literally control people. You control everything under you, like a king.
Sure. But you're not. You don't have to follow the same rules.
Mm. Well, you can make immunities from your own rules, which is exactly what they did. They created the Constitution.
Right. Okay.
The Constitution has absolutely nothing to do with the Articles or with the Declaration of Independence. Absolutely nothing. The Declaration was simply to create the Union. Once that Union was created, all the representatives got together and said, let's create a central corporation. And in order to make it more evil than we can possibly imagine, we're going to put it outside of the United States. With the permission of two states, they bought 100 square miles. Okay, so now you have this entity that has absolute diplomatic immunity, according to the Constitution, again. These guys travel outside of the United States to conduct their conspiracies where they will not get in trouble for it.
Because wow.
They're not in their states, and they go into Washington, D.C., and they have complete immunity. And if you go to the what's called the State Services Organization, and I recommend everybody do this, it's SSO.org, SSO.org. You're going to see a building. And this State Services Organization is basically the host for all of these private associations, like I'm saying, these conspiratorial groups. And there is a long list of all of the inhabitants of this building. And these are basically, I mean, if you look at the list, you're going to see all of the different aspects of government, from local, from the very, you know, lowest level common denominator within the states, to the governors, basically. I mean, just to give you a few examples, Association of State and Territorial Solid Waste Management Officers, Association of Metropolitan Planning Organizations, Employment Security Education and Research, Coastal States Organization, Council of State Governments. Okay, all of these, and what's ironic about this is what they're really creating when they do this. And you have to really hand it to them. It's very clever. What they're doing is they're creating lobbying groups. All right, so you got 50 governors, just to go back to the governor example. They create a private association. They house it in Washington, D.C. They go there, they conspire, and they lobby against themselves. Is that ironic? They're literally lobbying against themselves. So who's the most powerful lobby in the world if you're, let's say, a governor? Okay, well, let's think about it. I'm a governor of a state. I'm also a member of an organization where all 50 governors get together and lobby governors. So who is going to be the most influential lobby there is in the world? It's going to be the National Governors Association. Okay?
Oh, sure.
If I am the National Association of Secretaries of State, well, who's going to be the most influential lobby for each of the secretaries of the individual states? I'm betting that it's the National Association of Secretaries of State.
Sure.
Okay, you go down the list. National Association of State Auditors, Comptrollers, and Treasurers. National Association of State Budget Officers. Of State Chief Information Officers. Of State Community Services Programs. Of Development Organizations. of insurance commissioners. All right? Every single office of government.
Yikes.
Spires in Washington, D.C. They leave their state, do this, and they go back. Well, guess what? This is how CORE has been implemented uniformly and through model legislation all throughout the states, all 47 or 48 states now.
Right. Now, you find this under the tenant list.
Yes.
Yes, I found it. And you do that by going to... where did I go there? Let's see. IT services. No, about. About. Click about and then click tenant list and you will find all of these associations.
Yes.
It is amazing.
Right. So let me read their mission statement again, just to reinforce this. National Governors Association has a mission statement. This is from their about page. And if you go down, you can click on and find their home page. That's how I got this information. The National Governors Association is a bipartisan organization of the nation's governors, promoting visionary state leadership. And then it says it shares best practices and speaks with a collective voice on national policy.
Yikes.
All right. What's important in there? Yeah, okay, it shares best practices, obviously. It speaks with a collective voice. But most importantly... while we're all out here fighting amongst each other, I'm a Democrat, I hate you. I'm a Republican, I hate you. I'm independent, I hate you both.
Yes,
okay,
how
what
true.
Does it say? What does it say? It says the National Governors Association is a bipartisan organization.
Exactly. Now this
that means they leave those labels at the door. They are not Democrats or Republican. They are simply a group of people conspiring against the rest of us. That's
right.
What this is. That's what they say.
SSO was created in 1976.
Nice.
So if you put that in context of other things.
And so you know how long this has been going on, just like with the Governor Financial, associations and all that. This Governor's Association was founded in 1908.
Mm-hmm.
Figured this out a long time ago. That's when all these private associations got their footing. Okay, and that's also where the United Nations come from, the League of Nations. Way, 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 way back when. That's all of this was happening for the last 100 years. Actually, I've seen them as late as the 1890s.
Mm-hmm.
We're starting to create these associations.
Well, they created the District of Columbia on July 16, 1790. So, as a corporation.
Yeah, as a district, yeah.
Yes.
Which is, again, a corporation. And that's important, All these governments are nothing but corporations. They are not what you think they are. They are not. There is no states' rights. It doesn't exist. It's a myth. While they might have existed long, long, long ago, they do not exist today, and we have to get that through our heads. We're not dealing with a government of the people. And when you say the words, the people, I'm sorry, but I think I've proven in triplicate through my latest research that the people were the signers of that document. You cannot create a document for other people. You cannot sign on behalf of everyone, no more than I can go and I can sue the government on behalf of everyone. It's very clever, you see. I can't sue on behalf of the people. I have to sue only in my name and with the permission of everyone else. So what makes you think that a constitution can bind all people? It can't. And that's why they created the 14th Amendment citizen. And that's why they created Social Security, because they offer the benefits. You take the benefits, but with the benefits, you have to take all of everything else, you see.
Right.
Everything else. All of the negative things that come with it, which is positive law, ironically. All the positive rights, the right to have things forced upon you. They have a subgroup called the National Governors Association Center for Best Practices, the NGA Center, which states that it develops innovative solutions to today's most pressing public policy challenges and is the only research and development firm that directly serves the nation's governors. Okay, again, think of the irony here. What does that mean? That means the governors are serving the nation's governors.
Right.
Right? I mean, it's like they're wearing two different hats. They're acting as both. When they're in their state, they're acting as governor. When they're in the United States, they're acting as a criminal. They're acting as with immunity. I mean, it's this is government. So, okay, we started out by saying that the Common Core has entered into the military. Okay, so the point of all this is to say, well, gee, isn't that very clever? The federal government has actually created whole media and propaganda campaigns. And of course, it sent those media packets to the news, which are very, very adamant that the federal government has absolutely nothing to do with Common Core. It's a voluntary thing that states get to choose, right?
Right.
Well, I think we can understand now that that's not true. And ironically, after all that propaganda, there's a grassroots organization that was just sent to me. It's named Education Freedom Committee. And I'm just going to read this. It says it's now exposing Senate Bill S-1094, which is called Strengthening America's School Act of 2013. You can go read this. It's on GovTrack or whatever site that you use to look at bills. Again, Senate Bill or S.1094, Strengthening America's School Act. And here's what the EFC says, Education Freedom Committee. It says the EFC refers to this bill as a 1,200-page regulatory tsunami on local school systems. States that S-1094 puts approximately 150 new reporting requirements on states relating to teacher evaluations, learning goals, curriculum standards, standardized testing, and annual reporting. And then here's the thing. S-1094 also continues the war on local schools through forced implementation of Common Core standards. Okay, it goes on. A long-standing line of defense used by Common Core advocates is that it is voluntary for the states to participate, like I was saying. With the passage of S-1094, participation and implementation of Common Core standards will be required of states. This bill puts every single major decision on American education policy in the hands of Washington, D.C. bureaucrats and the U.S. Department of Education. Whereas the Department of Education was sort of this overshadowing lord that didn't necessarily have full power before, this is basically implementing, if not the foundation, a total power grab for the U.S. Department of Education. And again, forced implementation of Common Core standards. See, this is why I say states don't have rights. Once the Senate and the Congress and the President pass this, you will not be able to be a teacher unless you accept Common Core standards. That's why so many teachers are quitting right now. You will not be able to have a school unless you implement a private school, a charter school, whatever. You will not be able to have it unless you have Common Core standards. All right? It goes on. It says they're required to implement all of these new federal mandates in a very short period of time, and that the bill has already been rubber stamped in the Senate Health, Education, Labor, and Pensions Committee and could be voted on in the U.S. Senate at any time. Okay, so that literally federal government spent all this time stating, no, absolutely not. This is a voluntary system. Now, all of a sudden, in one fell swoop, it's going to become mandatory. And this is how government operates. It's very important, again, to understand this, because first, they implement it through uniform acts. First, they conspire.
Sure.
They conspire.
With the states, okay.
Right,
yeah.
And they set up the infrastructure. It's already there.
Yes.
All the Senate bill is going to do is make it now mandatory because it's already there.
Yes.
Right? So this is your government. It is, if there is states' rights, this mythological thing that we all believe in and all have faith in, then the best that they are doing is sitting on a shelf because states' rights really only exist if the government exercises them, right? But that's not happening.
No, they're not going to do that.
Obviously.
Of course not.
So, And remember also, the governor, the attorney general, the lieutenant governor, these are all military titles. We are, I never want people to forget that we are a militarily occupied nation. In other words, the 50 states, with the presence of the military bases, according to the Libra Code and U.S. Code, the presence of those bases in your state is literally a sign that you are an occupied territory, an occupied country. These are military positions that are not voluntary. They're required of the Constitution. Again, the Constitution of each state was a forced thing. After the Civil War, each state had to redo their Constitution, and they had to agree to something called the Enabling Acts, which basically says in each state that all the unappropriated lands were given up to the United States. So, again, the states' rights, while they might have existed at one point, after the Civil War, they have absolutely nothing. And to prove that, look what happened to the Confederacy.
Yes.
Okay, they thought they had states' rights. Yes. But obviously, that's a fallacy, and we have to acknowledge that. We have to acknowledge, literally, that we're a militarily occupied country. These people in the military have no idea that they are literally a foreign force of a corporation outside of the United States that are literally, just like in Germany and just like in Japan, they're literally occupying each country or state. I mean, and that's a huge understanding for these guys, because they do not know of what they do. They really don't.
Oh, they have no idea. They're so indoctrinated. And you mentioned CORE being used in the military. They indoctrinate these people. They shoot them up with vaccines. They do all kinds of terrible things to them. And these people are, they think they're doing a good thing until they get to their, where they're being stationed. And then they figure, why are we guarding these poppy fields? Or why are we doing this? Why are we...
Well, and, okay, you know, let's take this first a little further, too. Okay, we said already that it's military, okay? What is even worse? What could possibly be worse than that? I mean, your audience is obviously going to... this is going to make perfect sense to your audience. Other people will be very defensive of this, unfortunately, because they don't realize, again, what these private associations are, what these lobbying groups are. Would you care to venture a guess who is writing some of the lesson plans that the military are using?
Probably the ADL.
Oh, ding, 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 ding. Can you believe this? Okay, look, you've got the ADL, which is the Anti-Defamation League, which, as we know, absolutely defames everybody but the Jew. And it, of course, it supports and writes, actually, lessons on the gay and lesbian factor, right? And those are now in schools, the lesson plans on understanding gay and lesbian, touchy-feely stuff about gay and lesbian lifestyle, mm-hmm. putting in schools to where a second grader is learning about it. All right, which, you know, you can have your own opinion on that. I don't care what your opinion is. The point is that these things are coming from, not from legislatures, but from the ADL, a non-profit, laughable that is, non-profit, non-governmental organization. Okay, but now you take that a step further, and you see that the ADL is actually writing the lesson plans for military on such things. You're not going to believe this. They're writing the legislation on, let's see if I can pull this up real quick, because my God, the Anti-Defamation League is literally writing the lessons plans on such things as the Holocaust.
Okay? Right.
To reinforce the story of the Holocaust. And it's also writing a particular lesson plan I found in showing that the protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion are a lie and a conspiracy. Okay. It is also writing the sensitivity training on for soldiers so that they know what the Arab Spring is. Okay? In other words, let's talk about what this really means.
Now, are you finding a lot of this information within the talk by Eric Holder? Or is that just kind of an introduction of what they're doing?
You talking about that speech he made?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, he made a speech. Well, he does it all the time. He speeches in front of the ADL, where he just praises them and, you know, says they've been partners for so long and that, you know, he's going to implement all of these things. But no, you have you have the Cato Institute. You have all these different that are talking about the ADL being part of so many aspects of education, tax credits, and all that. As far as and you have hate crime bills, of course.
Right.
Where did those come from? Those they're very proud of themselves for creating these hate crime bills, which are and speech, hate speech. They're basically, if you will, pre-crime, right?
If you
say something, that means you're actually acted. You actually were violent because you said something.
Or even if you think something.
Think something, yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. Or write something. So, and then the other aspect of this is the anti-bullying legislation that goes into schools is coming from the ADL. And, of course, all of these things are all very much in support of the delusionary white Germanic men are bad, that
right.
kind of thing, you know, always promoting the Holocaust in some shape or form to demonize basically quote-unquote white people. Even though they're white and they're not Jews, that's what they do. They hide behind that notion. So this is going to the military. So if we can imagine that the military is actually receiving their training on sensitivity training and cultural training from a bunch of Jews on the Arabs, on Islam, on Muslim, on all these countries. I mean, is it no wonder that their quote-unquote sensitivity pretty much doesn't exist?
Right.
Is it no wonder that you can get a bunch of otherwise honorable men to go over and commit atrocious crimes against the quote-unquote Arab Spring? I mean, really, is it any wonder that that is what's happening? It's really not. There's another lesson plan. Oh, I mentioned this, but it's called The Resilience of Anti-Semitism, The Lies of the Protocols of the Elders of Zion. Under that, it says a three-part unit. Listen to this, folks. A three-part unit for high school students prepared in conjunction with the Anti-Defamation League special exhibit of Will Eisner's The Plot. Did you hear that? A three-part unit, in other words, lesson plan, for high school students telling them that the Protocols of Zion and everything that it, you know, all everything around it is a lie. It's just pure anti-Semitism. Now, remember, what is a Semite? Ironically, Semite is a dark-skinned Arab and a black African. It says, rationale, this three-part unit has been prepared in conjunction with the Anti-Defamation League, The Plot, a graphic history of the Protocols of the Elders of Zion. The purposes of the lessons is to increase student understanding of the history of anti-Semitism and the destructive influence of anti-Semitic myths and stereotypes over time and throughout the world. The unit also aims to raise awareness about the tactics used to spread hate propaganda and to provide students with the skills to respond effectively to hate on the internet and in other arenas.
just think of what participation Hollywood has had in this. With all of these films that they have produced recently, of course, I don't go to the movies very often, but I read about some of the films that come out. And they are really promoting, they are embellishing, they are giving, they're talking about all the stuff that you're talking about.
Yeah, and if you control the propaganda industry, you really control everything.
Sure.
And that's obviously the case here. But now, they have totally infiltrated government in a way that I wouldn't have never have expected, because now they're writing lesson plans for high school.
Oh,
okay, this lesson plan is for grades 9 through 12. It says so right in the lesson plan. It's done according to Common Core standards.
Now, there must be a real reason for them to even bring up the protocols of the lurid elders of Zion, because most people, really, if you mention that title, they've never even heard of it. I think that they're running scared. I think that there are enough people who are catching on to what is going on that they have to speed up their indoctrination of the people who have never even been introduced to this stuff yet.
I'd agree, and it's such a well, again, remember the etymology of government is mind control.
Okay? Sure.
Gouverner mentis govern, you know, mind control. That's basically what government means. So they're absolutely implementing through the education system. And again, this is pre-K, K through 12, college, university, and vocational training, and military training. Remember last time we said that Common Core standards was the employer of the year, was it?
For the military.
Was the Veterans Outreach Center, I believe?
Yeah, yes.
It's not just returning veterans now. So again, this is training for, well, I'll just go into that. It's ATRRS, Army Training Requirements and Resources System, which brings up a lot of different aspects of the military training apparatus, all of these different military schools and what. Here's another one. It's called Unheard Voices, Stories of LGBT History. And this is Correlations of Lessons to National Standards. In other words, Common Core Standards. That's another ADL document there.
Yeah.
Now, again, I don't care what your opinion is. I don't care, but you don't teach this to little children. Okay, I mean, this is not right. And you know, they do abortion. ADL has a lot to do with the abortion training and the depopulation training. They actually have depopulation agenda classes in Common Core. It's amazing that some of the stuff they teach in Common. I mean, it's in your face, horrific.
Right. Now, what is the name of that Army training?
ATRRS is Army Training Requirements and Resources System.
Okay.
Is where I did a lot of my searches.
Okay.
So if you just type into Yahoo or whatever, Common Core Military Training, you're going to come up with all kinds of stuff. I mean, it's not hard to find this. It's just, again, it's a matter of actually considering it before you could have the wherewithal to actually search for it.
Of
right?
course, you don't I know mean, what you don't know. Until
I mean,
you...
I'd hate to actually start looking at other. I mean, who knows? Boy Scouts, maybe.
Oh, I'm sure. Absolutely. Boy Scouts are in uniform. They like to earn these little merit badges and whatnot. That's just training to be a soldier when you get older and get those stars and those stripes on your uniform. Yeah, and they're very Masonic. The mm-hmm. Boy Scouts were started by the Masons.
Yeah, exactly. By the bloodline, actually.
Yes.
Okay, so here's another one. They have the TRADOC. TRADOC is U.S. Army Training and Doctrine Command. How's that for a name? The Army Training and Doctrine Command, TRADOC. And this is a report, I believe, that I found on that other website. It says history. This publication is a rapid action revision. So I think you're right. They're rapidly putting this into the education system so that these people aren't exposed for what they are. So the portions affected by this rapid action revision are listed in the summary. This U.S. Army Training and Doctrine Command Regulation 350-36 prescribes policies, guidance, responsibilities, procedures, and organizational relationship associated with managing and conducting Common Core Initial Military Training, or IMT, in basic officer leaders courses. All right, so this is very similar to what we talked about before, which is where they're getting the teachers. They're getting the elders, or the people that are in the position of authority. So if you train the doctrine, through the officers, then the students, which are the soldiers, the enlisted men, will follow in suit.
Of course, because they're all obedience trained. Sure.
Right. Okay, applicability. This regulation applies to TRADOC schools, active army, army reserve, army national guard, officers from the branch-specific technical schools, and warrant officers, which is the warrant officer basic course, block, or BOL training conducted at service schools, army training centers, and other training agencies and activities under the control of headquarters at TRADOC.
Okay.
Okay, so training conducted at service schools and academies under the control of U.S. Department of the Army through the execution of a memorandum of agreement that clearly defines corresponding responsibilities to support actions coordinated between U.S. Army Cadet Command, so cadets, U.S. Army Military Academy, and the TRADOC Deputy Commanding General, or the IMT. The policies contained herein, unless otherwise stated, also apply to members of sister and foreign services attending any Army school, IMT school. All right, so, okay, that should be enough for people to see that now we have in not only higher education, but military schools, military academies, and military basic courses. For both, this happens to be for officers, but this doesn't mean that it's only for officers. Here is the Army website, www.army.military, or MIL, the official homepage of the United States Army. What's the headline? Distance learning can enhance training during the duty day. Now, distance learning is a product of CORE, C-O-R-E, which is an Indian corporation, under the subsidiaries that we've talked about. So this is Common Core training. It goes on to say, and again, this is right on the military website, on October 1st of this fiscal year, many NCOs expecting to attend the Advanced Leaders Common Core, or ALC, formerly called Basic Non-Commissioned Officers Course Phase 1, received notification that the course would be moved online. Ah, that also bodes very well that, you know, Common Core is obviously all about doing online things.
Sure.
Right? We've discussed that. The Army's distributed learning system allows a soldier to receive institutional training at home or at the station. Here in Europe, classrooms are equipped with 16 multimedia computer workstations, internet access, video teletraining, with two-way audio and video, multimedia projectors, and screens. It says, quote, distance learning facilities are available to anyone who wants to use them as long as there is an open room. So, again, imagine that you're using a learning tool or a learning platform that comes straight from the ADL, and you're sitting in a tent somewhere in, let's say, Iraq, and you're learning about anti-Semitism and the Arab Spring from the anti, or as I like to call them, the Defamation League. Okay, imagine that even if it doesn't come right out and say that Arabs are bad, Jews are good, it's promoting the mythology of again the the tactics and the tools used towards anti-Semitism, you know?
Sure. It's reaffirming everything that the student has learned in school from kindergarten through high school, college, that they've learned through the media, through Hollywood, through everything. It's just confirming all of that, except it gives them somebody to shoot at.
Yep. It's horrible. Here's another couple of things from the Army website. It says, Chaplain based officer leadership course provides an introduction to the non-combatant Common Core skills, army writing, and chaplaincy specific training. Chaplains actually don't go through the, I believe, don't go through the actual basic training.
What's the URL for that?
This one is actually goarmy.com.
Okay.
And I searched for Common Core within just the the search term Common Core on goarmy.com, and you'll come up with a bunch of different stories. Advanced Leader Course. The ALC consists of both a 90-day highly facilitated web-based Common Core program and a branch-specific resident phase, da-da-da-da-da. Leadership program. It's all about leadership. Isn't that fun?
Yes, they want to make everybody feel like they're in charge, even though they're totally brainwashed. They want them to feel that they have something on, you know, going for them, that they're in charge, that they're somehow destined to do something great.
It's horrible. I mean, this is beyond anything I could have imagined. This is the training of the minds of soldiers to hate. Clandestinely to hate, and also then to protect these horrific acts of Israel. I mean, that's the other thing. You know, obviously, anyone can go see the support of Israel, the ridiculous support of Israel. It's not that hard to find, where you find every single Zionist politician out there, right? So, I mean, they're not just training to hate the Palestinians and the Arabs. They're training to protect Israel, the state, the whole mythology revolving around that. 8-week Common Core, Phase 4 training. You have a 12-week course taught at Fort Jackson, South Carolina. Non-combatant Common Core skills. An 8-week Common Core Reserve or Army National Guard course. Officer candidates in soldiering. I mean, it's, you understand, this is, I mean, a 90-day highly facilitated web-based Common Core program and a branch-specific resident phase designed for soldiers.
And the ADL, Anti-Defamation League, how ironic. It is just amazing that you can talk hateful about any ethnic group in the world, but you cannot say anything about the Jew.
You can go to jail, for God's sake. I mean, you could be thrown in a hole for talking about, what do they call it, revisionist history?
Yes, yes.
I mean, it's so funny because, you know, they're revising history as it happens.
Sure.
Right? I mean, look at every movie that comes out. Look at Lincoln, for God's sake. Mr. Lincolnstein.
Yes.
I mean... One of the things that was really horrible about that is their promotion of the new 13th Amendment. We need a 13th Amendment. We need a 13th Amendment.
Well, we've already had two.
Well, what about the one that was passed in 1810?
Yes. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, what about that one?
Yeah, please.
Let's just pull that one out and use it.
Please, Lincoln, we beg you, create a 13th Amendment. What a bunch of crap.
Oh, gosh.
So, yeah. Again, page after page that I've pulled up, and I'm putting this into an article. I was trying to get it finished before today, but it's just I've just been blown away by what I'm finding. Reading through these boring, you know, websites and manuals, but still, it's putting these pieces together and understanding this. It's just we are so screwed if we don't act against this, and we don't stand up and call it treason, and we don't stand up and call it conspiracy, and we don't actually take that to the legal playing field and really do something about this, because this has gone way beyond anything that's controllable at this point. I mean, this is literally the brainwashing now of not of children only, and of course in a few generations, this is going to be complete. There's not going to be anyone like us left. There's not going to be this outlet that we have to talk about this. There's not going to be there's not going to be people like you and me left. I mean, maybe our children might have some inkling if they're not lobotomized chemically,
right?
But I mean, literally, this is we're the last stand. I mean,
exactly. I agree with you.
I cannot say that enough. And this is now we know this has gone way beyond anything that we were thinking. We thought, you know, ADL is, you know, maybe it has a little more power than it should, but no, it has way more power. And now you have, again, the Senate is about to vote on a bill to force Common Core everywhere. So, folks, I mean, this is to say it's dangerous, to say it's evil. No word can describe what's happening here. And, you know, Deanna, thank you again for putting me off
Well,
here again.
thank you. Thank you so much. I hope that it, I hope this goes viral, as they say.
Well, you know, you'd think, although I don't see how it's going to without, ironically, without the Jewish media doing so. I mean, it's,
sure.
My God. Let's see. Just to reinforce some of this, Department of the Army, headquarters of the United States Army, which is tradoc.army.mil. Training, instruction, and military history. Okay, so now we're going to get a revisionist history by the military itself. Of course, the victor is always writing history, right?
Sure.
This regulation establishes policy and assigns responsibilities for the instruction and military history program in TRADOC. So again, TRADOC was submitting to Common Core standards. Heritage instruction.
Ah.
And initial entry training, non-resident academic instruction, study of military history as an integral component of leader development. We've heard that before. All about leadership. And it goes on to say that, of course, this is bound by Common Core standards. This revision implements substantial changes made necessary by the development of the Common Core for leaders in the and the infusion of heritage instruction. So, I mean, you got the military changing everything just to become...
just to acquiesce to the ADL, to acquiesce to that agenda. And all of this foundation has been put into place. Oh, my goodness.
You know, and the word core, my concern with the word core, I see the word core continuously used all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
So I believe, you know, we talked that this is vocational training, that this is workforce education. And when you start looking at these corporations out there and they start using the word core, even though they're not saying common core, we know that core, C-O-R-E, is the main corporation, the main thing. I get the impression that the word core is being used not just for education, but for other standards and practices, which will just basically take the student right from high school and put them straight to work through core standards in corporations.
Sure.
Okay, so I think it's much, obviously much deeper than just education. They also have in the multinational force in Iraq something called core warrior values training.
Wow.
Core warrior values training. I mean, what a contradiction of terms, right?
Exactly. Values? Yeah, sure. Go kill somebody. No. Here, take these values and go kill somebody.
Exactly. So if you want to verify all of this, I highly recommend people find the, and I'll be posting this at some point in the next week, find the ADL, by the way, find the ADL comprehensive annual financial report.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Okay, I have it linked on last week's talk. Mm-hmm.
You know, and read what it says. As it's saying, it's anti-defamation. It sits there and basically defames, has a little section.
Everybody, everything.
Arab Spring, and it calls them, you know, terrorists. They're terrorists in their own country, basically. They're,
sure.
You know, whatever.
It's like insurgents, people who fight against the oppressors that have invaded.
Yeah.
Oh, goodness.
So there's one other aspect here that I wanted to mention. You know, we're talking about the plans for special education, special needs, handicapped.
Oh, right. The autistic kids that they can just put on a machine and say, here, do this, don't ask questions.
Exactly, exactly. So there's a thing, I'm just going to read this. It says, the transition from high school to young adulthood is a critical stage for all adolescents, including children of military families and those with disabilities. For a student with a disability, a vocational transition plan must be included as part of the individual's education program, or IEP. So the individual's education program, IEP, and needs to be developed when the student turns exactly 16 years of age or earlier.
Wow.
Okay, so what is this? What is this saying? Now remember, it said military, because what they're using as an excuse to implement this is they're saying because military kids, and there's 2 million of them, because military kids are constantly moving, and they change schools, you know, on an average of 9 times in their childhood, which has to be hell. You know, we have a problem here. We have an issue where we're taking kids and we're moving them all over the place, right? That's the problem. So let's not focus on the problem. Let's just focus on the side effects, right? Let's try to fix the side effects. So what are we going to do? We're going to take and we're going to make all schools standardized so that no matter what school you go to, if a military kid has to change schools in the middle of the year, he can expect to go to that new school in any state and expect to pick up right where he left off. In other words, the course is so, Common Core standards are so exacting that that kid will literally not have to catch up or listen to what he's already learned, because everybody is learning the same exact thing at a much slower pace. And there's all kinds of groups out there that tell you, you know, very important people in groups that tell you that this is dumbing down children. Well, what it's really doing is making everybody learn exactly the same thing through national courses, national literature, and literally it's allowing children to transfer from any school whatsoever and pick up right where they left off. So there will be no special, you know, great, you know, special, no one can get ahead. All right, we have no child left behind. What that really means is that no child can get ahead.
Exactly. I mean, that's really
what it says. So an individual education program is provided for all students who receive special education programs and services through their schools, and preparation of the vocational transition plan is a careful process. Listen to this. A careful process which determines where the student needs to live, work, and play as an adult.
Wow. Amazing.
Okay, so we're talking about saying a bunch of autistic kids. It doesn't say specifically autism. It's for all people. But specifically when you're talking about autism, especially if you perfect it and create a uniform autism spectrum disorder, it's a horrible, horrible concept and true before our eyes. A careful process which determines where that student needs to live, work, and play. And they go on to talk about how to put all kinds of stimuli in front of these autistic children to see what they're good at, what they cling to, and which repetitive motions they seem to like, and then of course they decide where they'll work based on that information that's collected data. Right now, this goes further. Now there's a company called Triad. TriCare. Triad is a whole other corporation that's promoting this, but TriCare actually pays, and TriCare is the military health benefits, basically. It's the military insurance for benefits. Basically, the TriCare, which is basically your money, your taxpayer money, will pay $36,000 a year for every autistic child.
Wow.
$36,000 a year it will pay for autistic children to go through this workforce training under Common Core standards. Remember, where's that money coming from? That's, you know, whenever money is spent by government, it is spent in debt.
Right,
it is appropriated, meaning that it is created at that moment, and it is created as a negative balance or debt. So the money being created by Congress today doesn't exist. I mean, it's creating new money every time it makes appropriations. So that's where the debt aspect of this comes from. So $36,000 for every autistic child in the military. And, you know, then it goes on. What's really funny, I thought, just ironic, is that on the TRICARE website, it had two stories back to back. The first one was, hey, it's school time. You know, it's this month. Hi, school time's back. It's time to get your kids vaccinated. The next story was on autism and how TRICARE will pay for $36,000. Tells people how to go through the steps and take your child through this autism training. So they're promoting vaccines and then giving, you know, creating money to pay for the treatment of autistic children.
Right. And that's tricare.mil.
Yes. Yes.
Yes. Okay.
So, all right. I mean, I don't have much else to say here, Deanna, other than to just make people aware that when the military is receiving sensitivity training on Arabs from the ADL, you know there's a serious problem going on.
Yes. Right? Serious conflict of interest right here. Serious, serious. Oh, my goodness.
What's happening in Syria? What's happening in Iraq? What's happening in Pakistan? What's happening in Palestine? You know, yes. why would any soldier in their right mind support this? Well, guess what? They're not in their right mind. Their minds are being controlled through information technology, through common core standards, best practices. That's what's happening. So, again, thank you for having me here.
Well, thank you so much, Clint. I really appreciate your information and your research, and we should do this every week.
Yeah, right? Every week.
Sunday mornings with Clint.
Every week. It's a new mind screw. Join us.
Indeed.
All right. Well, again, thank you. And I always enjoy this without commercials. It's so nice.
Oh, I love the lack of commercials. I think it's great.
Yeah.
All righty. Take care.
Thanks.
All righty. Bye-bye.